Okay, Philippians chapter 1. Hey, we left off around verse 9. Well, let's work up into that again. Okay, whereas the Apostle Paul, again, was identifying his stewardship. Okay, and the stewardship, he was of these saints right here in Philippi. Okay, instructing them as concerning their behavior. That is, their behavior in the courts of the Lord. Okay, and that priesthood. Okay, without the proper behavior, which is by God's commandment, okay, there's no propitiation for sins. Okay, so that's why he says here in verse 3 about calling to remembrance. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, okay, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, okay, as concerning the results which come about because of our faith, and how the Lord rewards us, okay, as he sees the conscience, okay, clear as crystal water, okay, which has to do with the presence of faith. Because the presence of faith, okay, in the conscience, okay, is as a window in the soul. So if your conscience have faith, then the soul is full of light. Okay, and these are the true treasures of God. The true treasures of his kingdom, they come forth from this. Okay, and that's why he says, for God is my record, okay, in verse 8. Okay, the record again has to be the oath. His oath, that record is my behavior. Okay, whereas I'm ordering my life according to that, which is the record of the Spirit. Okay, the activity and rhythm of his kingdom. Okay, now the activity and rhythm of his kingdom has to do with these tools. Okay, which has to do with government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, and the gifts and the callings and the graces of God. Okay, and not to deviate from these things. So that with these things, okay, we don't transgress the record, okay, and we don't violate or offend one another. Okay. The offense arises, okay, from false knowledge. Okay, and false knowledge works with the aspiration. The aspiration is connected to the moral code. The moral code is connected to the flesh. And the flesh is connected to the behavior of Satan's oath, okay, the kingdom of darkness. So he says here, in verse 8, it's concerning the bowels of Jesus Christ. Okay, that my behavior is again connected to him. Okay, this is a true measure. Okay, because everything is measured by him, the oath of the Lord. Okay, now we come up to verse 9. Okay, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. Okay, now this is an evident manifestation of the true oath. Okay, the evident manifestation of the true oath, okay, is able to identify the temperament of both kingdoms. Okay, as concerning concerning good and evil. Okay, now the Apostle Paul also brings it out in Hebrews. Okay, concerning good and evil. Okay, so why don't you turn there for a moment? Okay, and that's in Hebrews here. And of course, I think everybody knows where I'm going here in Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, around verse 14. Okay, he talks about milk and he talks about meat. Okay, now milk, he is unable to identify the temperament of what kingdom is manifesting itself. Now here Paul talks about it's concerning his love as an avowal of Jesus Christ. And yet we can see that there's another temperament that can manifest a false charity. Okay, that false charity, okay, is a temperament of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, so you might make a note on that. Okay. And now verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Okay, the full age again has to do with the blossoming of this knowledge in you. Okay, which can come at different levels, okay, of a physical age. Okay, when he talks about the full age right here, he's not talking about it's concerning the chronologically the biological age. Okay, but rather that, okay, which is the consistency of one spirit. Okay, the consistency of one spirit with these tools in the priesthood of Christ. So strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use. Okay, now reason of use has to do with the experience which we have through this engaging. Okay, and when an individual, okay, is slack, okay, within their okay, assigned duties and responsibilities, okay, concerning the kingdom of God and that priesthood, okay, also their reason becomes dim-sighted, okay, and their discernment also becomes not long discernment, but short discernment. Everything, the discernment is within the gravity of one's aspiration, so that's short discernment, okay, and dim-sightedness. Okay, but long discernment has to do with the reason of faith. Okay, that you're able to weigh these things and the temperament of them. Okay, without the weighing of this temperament, you're not going to understand the sources. Okay, is it from the bosom of the Father? Okay, from the throne of God, or is it from the belly of Azazel? Okay, from hell. Okay, because both temperaments, okay, are from two different oaths. Okay, two different oaths. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Okay, so we can see that again, experience is absolutely necessary, okay, and as concerning the ranking of your understanding. Okay, the ranking of your understanding, if it's very low ranking, then it's going to be very difficult, okay, in order to discern. Now here, there's the word right there he has in verse 14, discern. Okay, as concerning weighing the temperament of the spirits. Okay, what is being carried forth? Okay, now the temperament, the kingdom of darkness, okay, brings hostility within the soul, or fear strikes the soul. Okay, but you notice that the temperament, which is the kingdom of God, okay, doesn't produce that of the fear of the soul, okay, but rather it challenges the condition of the conscience. Is it one that has faith, okay, or is it a defiled conscience? If the conscience is defiled, okay, then the offense of truth will be present, okay, and also because the soul is full of darkness, okay, and of course the soul being full of darkness, okay, is easily swooned within the temperament of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, it wants to carry forth its aspirations to completion, okay, through confirmation or flattery of others, okay, and that's the way that kingdom is ran. Okay, its substance, okay, is of a different kingdom. It's not the substance that we hope for, okay, which is of faith, okay, but it's a substance of another kingdom, okay, and that substance has to do, of course, with envy and strife and bitterness, okay, and sedition and hearsay. Okay, that's the temperament of that kingdom, okay, and it strikes fear in those that don't understand or those that hear that knowledge. Okay, but strong meat belongs to them in their full age, even those who by reason of use, through growth, okay, faith, patience, and long-suffering, okay, through the commitment, the building of the kingdom of God through this priesthood, that is the priesthood of Jesus Christ, okay, and this knowledge, have their senses exercised, same language the Apostle Paul uses also in 1 Corinthians, to discern both good and evil. Okay, and as weighing these temperaments, okay, what power is this manifestation carrying? Okay, now I'm going to go back to Philippians here. So the Apostle Paul is bringing this to our attention because he's leading us up to this one point of discernment. Okay, in verse 15, because there's many that are claiming to be servants of God, but yet their message, okay, the message which you're preaching, okay, is tethered to one's aspiration. They come forth as a rival to the stewardship of Christ, okay, rather than building on the wall, okay, which is building the kingdom of God. Okay, so you can see the temperament of these two kingdoms. For God is my record upon which is upon my soul, he says, for God is my record, okay, being the oath of my behavior, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I'm still in verse 8 here. Okay. So here we can see that this is the nursery. This covenant in the bowels of Jesus Christ is a nursery. Okay, whereas we're being nurtured, and as we continue to engage with this, okay, we're maturing together. Okay, we're maturing together in him. All right. Now, how does this come about? We see this in verse 9 here in the cycles of growth. Okay, in the first portion of this verse, in verse 9, we see the work about regeneration. Okay, and following, okay, these things, the work of regeneration, in the same verse, we see the renewing of the mind. Okay, but again, the renewing in mind itself is not just memorizing biblical events, okay, or memorizing text. even though memorizing scripture is good, okay, and I will definitely encourage that, okay, memorizing scripture so you can meditate, okay, but in and of itself, okay, is not the work of his circumcision, independent of regeneration. So in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." Now this is, now when he says this I pray, okay, this is what has been assigned to us as our yoke. Okay, that we have to be diligent within this ministry. Okay, we have to be diligent within our service at his altar. Okay, and that your love may abound. Now that's the same thing the Apostle Paul brings to the attention of the Thessalonians. Okay, you see that in 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Okay, that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you towards abounds towards each other. Okay, these are the spiritual things he's talking about. Okay, through faith and charity. Through faith and charity, through this form of engagement with a pure conscience and the proper tools from the foundation of truth, okay, you're able to weigh all things, good and evil, okay, on the scales of his truth. Not on the scales of your moral code. If you're weighing things in the scales of your moral code, you're using the imagination, the aspiration, okay, to try to find clarity, okay, closure, and your own equity. If you're using the scales of your own moral code to try to find clarity, closure, okay, in your own equity, okay, you can tell that the adversary is placing the finger of his aspiration, okay, or your imagination on the other side of that scale. Okay, and when that finger is removed, okay, by the grace of God, okay, then there's a collapsing of your confidence, and you feel, okay, that you say that, okay, overwhelming shadow of his fear, okay, whatever what kingdom that is, you can feel the overshadowing of that fear of that kingdom, and it puts you in a state of confusion, okay, but that state of confusion is not from the foundation of truth, it's from the foundation of Beelzebub, okay, it's a different kingdom, a different temperament. Okay, which puts an individual, mostly young Christians, okay, in a state of confusion. In other words, it's like trying to use a compass in the middle of a factory. Okay, and if you try to use a compass, okay, which is the needle, is magnetically affected, okay, by metals. Okay, the arrow will spin around, okay, as you continually walk through the factory. I mean, you could experiment with that sometime. Okay? But now if you take that same compass, okay, and isolate yourself, okay, upon the top of a hill, okay, then you can be able to see, okay, that the influence of that arrow is minimized greatly, okay, and that it will point to magnetic north. Okay? Not true north, but it will point magnetic north. Okay? But my point is here is concerning the influences. Okay? In one kingdom, okay, the influences continually bring confusion. Okay, you're looking for clarity, but the needle keeps moving around, spinning on you. Okay, and you're trying to piece together facts. Okay, or you're trying to put together a comprehensive truth. Okay, rather than the truth, you're creating your own truth with a moral code. Okay, this is not the charity that's going to bound one to another. This is going to be the charity of dissension. Okay, and conflict. And a charity of hearsay and seditions. Okay, so this I pray, that your love may abound toward each other. Now, if true charity is abounding toward each other, it removes, okay, these barriers of offenses which exist in the moral code. The barriers of offenses flourish in the moral code. Okay, that's why the moral code must be subdued by the circumcision of truth and faith. So this I pray, that your love may abound more. Okay, so underline the word abound, and of course this has to do with the work of regeneration, that your charity may abound by the work of regeneration. Okay, so through this experience of charity, a true circumcision is forthcoming, okay, and there's clarity, okay, and your perspectives, okay, are, okay, set in proper order, or your behavior, okay, your behavior is that of the court of the Lord, okay, and not that of a nursery. You know the behavior of children in a nursery. Okay, every child wants to dominate his corner. Okay, every child wants to immediately claim ownership, okay, of something that's usually not theirs. Okay, or maybe it is theirs. Okay, but immediately they struggle to maintain the power of that ownership. Okay, that's the nursery mentality of a young Christian. Okay, But the adults, okay, those which have the perspective of God, their behavior in his court is not the ownership of one's moral code, okay, but rather the issuing forth, okay, of charity. In other words, pleasing God. So this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, nay, increase. It increases by the cycles of a circumcision, okay, and also in mind. Okay, the mind now gains a new perspective. So he says, more and more may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Okay, so underline the word knowledge there in verse 9. Okay, knowledge has to do with accumulation of facts. Okay, but these facts that you're accumulating, of course, has to do with that foundation of truth within you, okay, is a direct result of the charity that you're issuing forth, so that the more you sow, the more you grow. If you're sowing false charity, okay, that false charity, again, is knowledge that's joined to the aspiration. Okay, now Jesus warned of that same mindset. Okay, on the day of judgment, many people before God are going to stake claims as concerning their authorization, okay, and the purity of their own soul. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What do you mean working iniquity? Okay, the prophecies which you were speaking was tethered to the wrong kingdom. Okay, the demons which you were casting out, okay, was not by my finger. Okay, and the wondrous works that you were doing, okay, was not those things which I authorized for faith. Okay, and they're going to say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we in your name cast out devils? And in your name do many wonderful works? Okay, so Jesus was teaching his apostles early on within that ministry, okay, between the two temperaments of these kingdoms. Okay, Judas Iscariot was an apostle. Okay, but his apostleship, which was confirmed by Jesus Christ, okay, was tethered to an aspiration. Okay, he was trying to use his knowledge, which he heard from Jesus. He took ownership of that knowledge, but he also began to redirect it. He directed that knowledge in order to force Jesus into a position of compromise. Okay, and so that forcing Jesus into a position of compromise, that Judas himself would be, would receive that elated embrace, which he saw took place between Peter and Jesus. Okay, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," okay, "You are the Son of God," okay, Jesus made a statement. Okay, in regards to that, "My Father revealed that to you." Okay, and embracing Peter, there was an elation of fellowship, and Judas, okay, was observing this form of fellowship. Okay, but Judas was looking at all his labor as being unrewarding. Okay, and then looking at his labor being unrewarding, he multiplied his applications for his aspiration, not knowing what kingdom he was tethered to. Okay, and having that perspective ruling his mind, Jesus says, "What you do quickly." Okay, because he knew that Satan entered into him. Satan entered into the aspiration, which has to do with the door of the imagination. Okay, the door of the imagination, okay, is where Satan enters. Okay, not the door of a clear conscience, not the door of faith. Satan can enter the door of faith, but he can enter into the door of the imagination. Okay, so he says here, concerning regeneration and renewing of the mind, okay, when you're engaging God, okay, with those things out of a pure heart. Now, the pure heart is that which is free from guile. When we say free from guile, we know what guile is. Okay, guile has to do with a misrepresentation of one's motives. Okay, their motives, in appearance to the eye, okay, look pure, but the eye of the Lord, okay, does not see a reflection of himself in it. Okay, the eye of the Lord does not see does not receive his reflection. Okay, but he continually sees, okay, a marking of a different kingdom. Okay, the smell of a different kingdom is there. Okay, but the individual, which is the victim of this influence, is unaware of that kingdom. Okay, the victim is unaware. That's why we, which are a spiritual mind, are able to discern the kingdoms. Okay, but those which are yet carnal-minded cannot weigh these temperaments. Okay, but if you try to weigh the temperaments in the light of the moral code, you're always going to lean towards the force of darkness. You're always going to lean toward that, okay, which is sympathetic to one's perspective. Okay, not the perspective of God, but the perspective of owning one's own logic. Okay, or correctness, rightness, and false justification, which follows those things.
That's the kingdom of this world. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's where the prince of this world rules. Okay, as we can see that many things transpired there during the ministry of the first century apostles. Okay, even with Diotrephes, with Judas, okay, with Demas, with Alexander and Hermogenes. Okay, and these people, okay, which I just named there, okay, were elders. Okay, now the Apostle Paul writing these letters right here, okay, is bringing to the attention of the saints right here, okay, concerning these temperaments. So this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound. This is your responsibility. You have to apply yourself in the priesthood, or you'll be ensnared. Yet more and more, you must increase. Okay, you're increasing these cycles, the cycles of your circumcision. Okay, the circumcision of the heart and the mind, wherein God again is imprinting his law, okay, in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay, so when he says here, love and knowledge, truth and charity, okay, because the knowledge is the holy knowledge, just not any knowledge. It's not a knowledge of our selection. It's a knowledge that's been issued to us. Okay, when you go to a local library, you can get any knowledge here of your selection. Okay, when you pull out the drawers there of the, okay, of the cards, okay, when you know, and you can choose any kind of knowledge you want. Okay, but the knowledge the Apostle Paul here is talking about, okay, has to do with that which is of the unquestionable source from the throne of God. So this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So he talks about all knowledge and knowledge and in all judgment. He's talking about knowledge that you're going to be able to weigh the good and evil on that proper scale. You're able to weigh the good and the evil on the true scale, the proper scale, that of truth. Okay, and therefore, you're going to be able to prove those things are excellent, in verse 10. Okay, that you, in growing in all grace, may be able to approve and to weigh the temperament of these tools. Okay, these tools of equity. And by these tools of equity, okay, you're going to have these things of excellence. Okay, so that you may approve things that are excellent, totally wholesome. Totally wholesome. The word excellent means totally wholesome, which has to do with all the ingredients are in the pie. Okay, now all the ingredients can be in the pie, but you know, if the temperature on the stove isn't the proper temperature, it will come out raw or burnt. Okay, the fire tries the substance, doesn't it? The fire tries the substance. If there's loss, or there's gain, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, it should be tried by fire. Is it gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? Okay, now if it's wood, hay, and stubble, we know that it's tethered to the moral code, the aspirations of man. Okay, but the person is only saved if they continue on, in that stewardship. Okay, but if by a choice, okay, they separate themselves, okay, from the stove, okay, or the proper environment, okay, then those things which are in the mixture of the pie become non-effective. Okay, it remains in the state of its, okay, in the state of its first initiation. You just pour the ingredients in the pan, but that doesn't make it a pie yet. Okay, but all the things are necessary. Not only the proper temperature of the altar of the stove, okay, but also of the timing of it, okay, which means if it's left there too long, it's gonna be consumed on the altar or burnt. This happened when Aaron's two sons, just right after the incident of Aaron's two sons dying, Hophni and Phinehas there, okay, or not Eli's sons, but Aaron's sons, okay, when right after they died. Okay, the goat on the altar was consumed so that there was so much commotion going on, they forgot to partake of the goat on the altar. Okay, and it was consumed at that time. Okay, so the timing is absolutely important. Okay, your timing, as concerning the proper temperature and the proper ingredients. Okay, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, the things which we spoke of many years before, okay, which we still emphasize at this present time. Okay, gifts, callings, graces of God, government, truth, the Spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, proper measure, proper rule, weight, measure, rule. Okay, the grace of God, okay, carries these things. Okay, and by carrying these things, then the manifestation of it, the temperament, is in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Nay, not in offense. Okay, not an offense, not underbaked, okay, as raw, not overbaked as being burnt. Okay, but all the ingredients are necessary. So this is what he says here, in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, totally wholesome. Okay, so just saying, just using the tools or just using the terms of the covenant doesn't make an individual in covenant. Okay, people can speak the language but not walk the walk. And the Apostle Paul is going to bring this out here in verse 15. They can speak the language but not walk the walk. Okay, that charity is short-sighted, okay, being orbiting around one's aspiration, so that when things fall into place concerning one's circumstances of life, then they feel the joy of the Lord. Okay, but that's the false joy. That's only the peace of the world. The false joy, the false peace, the false rest. Okay, they bear a resemblance but carry no power. Okay, they bear a resemblance but carry no power. Same thing with a mannequin in a store window. A mannequin in a store window carries a resemblance, but it has no life in it. It's the same thing with ectoplasm. Okay, ectoplasm carries a resemblance, but yet but possesses no power. It has no life in it. It's empty, hollow, and cold. Okay, ectoplasm. Okay, what's interesting about that, ectoplasm, okay, it's the substance of it comes right from the wormy belly of Azazel, which is in hell. Okay, and he or Beelzebub is the oath of all devils. He's the prince of the devils, so he's the oath of all devils. Okay, whereas Satan, of course, is the prince of darkness, the king of those demons. Okay, but Beelzebub also is the prince of devils. Okay, and by his oath, and by the god code of Beelzebub, the wormy belly of Azazel, okay, through the digestion of the sinners, okay, the substance that's a result of that, okay, takes the form of ectoplasm, okay, which is devils use this to manifest himself in this as a substance in this dimension. What's incredible about that, okay, is that the kingdom of God, okay, follows the same pattern. Okay, of course, Beelzebub stole it from God. Okay, that the substance of our faith is manifested within this dimension through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, because he is our oath, he is our substance. Okay, and he is the record of our faith. Okay, so both these kingdoms, okay, and its temperaments and its manifestations, okay, are similar in form but difference in substance. Similar form and difference in substance. Okay, when the witch of Endor, okay, called up, say, the soul, okay, of one that Saul named to her, okay, which was Samuel. It wasn't Samuel in reality. Okay, it was Samuel in form. Okay, what's interesting about these devils is that they can also prophesy or give bring forth factual events. They can bring forth because they also have access, as well as also they're able to eavesdrop upon the conversations of the angels. Demons eavesdrop upon the conversations of the angels, and they're also able to piece together certain events, as well as also read the soul of the sinner. Okay, and upon these things, they're able to prophesy, which is false prophecy, by the way, or the false prophetic movement. They're able to prophesy into people's lives. Okay, and so why should we think that's rather strange? Okay, seeing that the kingdom of darkness, okay, finds its source in empowerment following, okay, a similarity of that which is of God's kingdom. Okay, let's go back here now. Okay, so we want to prove the things that are excellent, not the placebo, okay, not the ectoplasm, not the echo, okay, the echo. Okay, demons are also called echoes. Devils are called echoes, or demons are called echoes, simply because they don't possess the form of reality. A shadow, okay, is as an echo of a tree, and the voice of a devil, okay, which we call also the voice of Wilson, okay, is as similar to that of a voice of the Holy Ghost. Okay, the voice of the Holy Ghost, okay, carries life and reality. An echo, okay, carries that which is empty, cold, and death. It's only a form, but not the reality of it. Okay, just to give you an example of that. Okay, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Okay, that you may be sincere. Now, be sincere. The conscience is pure. the heart being full of faith and without offense. This is why I was bringing these things to your attention. Okay, because you're without offense just means apart from the barriers of the moral code. Okay, apart of the barriers of the moral code. When an individual hears the grace of God, okay, but refuses, okay, to remove the barriers of the moral code, then they will be with offense. The moral code, okay, is a combination, okay, of the signature, as well as one's tradition, upbringing, education, association, okay, experiences of life, okay, are all within that moral code. So an individual can draw from all these things for their barriers to the grace of God. Okay. Okay, when a person provides a stumbling block or barriers, it's a stumbling block to one's faith. Okay? When a person recalls these things of their own moral code, they begin to set barriers to the entrance of grace. So the heart remains darkened. Okay? The conscience remains defiled and impure before God. Okay? And they stand as a transgressor before the Lord. Okay? Because they refuse the entrance of his grace. Okay? That is a heart that's full of offense. That means the things that are in the pie pan, okay, are ingredients of no equity. Okay, the heat of the oven, the timing of the cooking, okay, and also the ingredients. Okay, if there's one inequity, it also affects all the others. Okay, if there's one inequity, it affects all the others. So that you may be sincere. The Apostle Paul is telling this to Philippian Christians here, okay, those who he has stewarded, okay, those who he fellowshipped with, and those who he assisted in the doctrine of Christ. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be without offense, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. Now the day of Christ here is speaking of the day when the eye of the Lord is present and sees your faith. Okay, the angel of the Lord is the eye of the Lord. The holy angel is an eye of the Lord. Okay, it's that angel that sanctifies your faith. That is, if there's faith present. If there's faith present, then there's a reward which you receive. This delights the Lord. Okay, and this is what Judas saw transpire between Peter and Jesus. When Jesus told Peter, says, "And upon this rock I will build my church. I delight in those that receive my grace." Okay, more than any gold, okay, which Judas was pursuing after. More than the gold or the things of this world. Okay, so when Peter says, "Thou art the Christ," okay, there was a form of elation, a congratulations, okay, an embracing, an exchange of fellowship. Okay, this is what the Lord looks for in us, okay, an embracing, an elation, okay, a fellowship, a companionship. Okay, and this is what Jesus said to his apostles, "You're no longer servants, but my friends." Through this form of engagement, an elation of my grace, an embracing of my fellowship. This is the day of Christ. Now, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, this, as the psalmist said. The day of elation is the day of the Lord, okay, where the eye of the Lord sees your heart full of faith. Okay, your conscience is clear because of faith, the presence of faith, that you're rehearsing and reflecting and reciprocating the holy knowledge of God, his testimonies, his judgments, his knowledge. Okay? This is a day which the Lord has made. And now we can see in verse 11, being filled through this form of process and cycles of abounding and increasing in all faith and charity. Now you're being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay? These are the things that mirror himself, the Lord. Every prophecy of the Lord is a mirror of himself. It'd be like the Lord standing in front of a mirror, as an example. A Lord standing in front of a mirror, okay, and he prophesying to himself, okay, is speaking of these things which he, okay, would engage with. It's like what people do sometimes in the morning when they're combing their hair, okay, or, you know, when they're grooming themselves in front of the mirror and they're talking to themselves. Some do, some don't, okay, but it's, you know, considered, or it's not abnormal. Okay, but here you're standing in front of the mirror as you're grooming yourself. Okay, there's thoughts going through your mind. Okay, as concerning how things would, okay, take form. Okay, or you say, or the sequence of things that be unfolding through the day is what you're preparing yourself for. That's like the Lord prophesying before himself. Okay, as in a mirror. Okay? And this is what we do. We stand in confidence in those things which he has spoken as in a mirror face to face. Okay? That our engagement with him is in a mirror. That we're not turning the back, but the face. When you stand in front of the mirror, you don't turn the back. You turn the face towards the mirror. Okay? And turning the face towards the mirror is that which is a heart full of faith. These are the fruits. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, these things which, again, the measure of his oath is a standard of his faith. The measure of his oath, the standard of faith, this is his righteousness. It reflects him perfectly. This is a prophecy and a song which Moses taught the children of Israel that they are to rehearse these things daily. Through the rehearsing of these things, it will keep them in a form of meditation. As concerning the plan of God and his oath, that it continually they would keep the children of Israel tethered to him, okay, and this tethering is a shield, okay, against the false knowledge of the heathen that live around them. The heathen live by the aspirations, okay, the oath of their own record. We don't live by the oath of our own record. Our oath is joined to him by faith in Jesus Christ, so that our perception and our behavior, our character, is ordered by him, okay, through the work of regeneration and renewing of the mind. So that we stand before God without offense, okay? But in the presence of the Lord, we continue to carry within our heart the treasures of His virtue, which is the praise of His glory, the praise of God, and we'll be talking about that here, okay? So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, underline the word fruits, and you can connect the word fruits to the word praise of God, fruits to the praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, the things that are of His measure, as in a mirror. Okay, a mirror is a measure of yourself. It's perfect. Okay, it's a measure of yourself. This is who you are. Okay, and when God sees us, He's looking in a mirror. He sees us as Himself. Okay, as concerning your faith. Your faith is a reflection of Him, not the moral code. The moral code is a turning of the back. Okay, and we turn our back when we don't embrace His word as our lamp for the confidence of our faith. Then we're turning the back and not the face. And we're turning our back towards him. That's a transgression against him, see? Okay, because when we turn the back, that means we're seeking direction, okay, other than that which is from him. Okay, we're seeking other direction. But when you have the face towards him, that's which of course a heart full of faith, then he sees you as he sees himself. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, okay, these fruits are now taking form within you. Okay, it's concerning the leaf and the bud, the berry, and the perfection of that. Okay, everything's growing together. You notice that when an apple or a lemon tree or an orange tree or any kind of tree or a vine, okay, that has grapes on it. Okay, it doesn't just grow one grape at a time. You know how long you'd be waiting for a whole cluster of grapes to grow on that if it just took one grape at a time. Okay, but everything grows in unison together. So is the work of Christ within you, the work of regeneration. Okay, these things in the soul are saving you, salvaging you, okay, and renewing you in a strength. Okay, each cycle of your growth is a season. Okay, is a season, and each season is a form of circumcision. Each season is a form of circumcision. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, is by the knife, of truth. Okay, and this is what he's nourishing by. He's nourishing us in his nursery. Okay, like those which grow flowers in a nursery. Okay, those that grow flowers in a nursery. Okay, that means the environment. Okay, the temperature in that nursery is set to benefit. Okay, those particular flowers which are growing. All right, too much moisture, and all you're going to get is moss in there. Okay, and too little moisture, all you're going to do is grow cacti in there. Okay, but the right amount of moisture, you'll be growing those things which, okay, produce equity to the eye. Okay, beautiful flowers. Okay, that will bring forth fragrance. You know, which blesses the individual. Okay, who's patiently waiting for the time of their blooming. And that's what the Lord does with us. The time of our blooming, a reciprocation of His reciprocation of His grace is like a time of blooming. Okay, and flowers open up. Okay, some open up over a course of time. Okay, some flowers open up early in season, some a little later in season. Okay, but they're, as they open up, they're sending forth, see, the praise of their glory. Okay, not only to the eye, but also to the, you see, to the smell. Okay, so we go on again here, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, again the image of himself, which are by Jesus Christ, he's standing in front of the mirror, the second covenant, unto the glory and praise of God. So we're building his house with this holy substance. This is the crown of the Spirit. This is the crown of the Spirit. This is why we have access, okay, into the throne, being the crown of the Spirit, the virtue of his kingdom. Okay, for God is love. Okay, God is love. This is what the Apostle John brings out. God is love. Okay, he inhabits the very virtue which he manifests. Okay, and inhabiting the virtue which he manifests is what he laid at Jesus when he embraced Peter, and says, "Peter, upon this rock." Okay, and when he rejoiced with him. Okay, that's the true communion and fellowship which you desire. Okay, I would that you understand, brethren, verse 12, that the things or the events that unfolded and which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. As God rewards my faith. These are the judgments that God has set within my steps. Okay, so that through these challenges, my faith continually remains strong and I grow stronger within him. I abound and abound and increase and increase. Okay, through these challenges which God has designed. These challenges which God designed are not by chance, but of course by design. Noah's flood wasn't by chance of a sudden change of weather. Okay, Noah's flood was the design of God's judgment, okay, which again is still stands to this day as a testimony, okay, against man's wickedness and God's righteous judgments. Okay, that God will also cleanse the earth again of all wickedness. And verse 13, he talks about his bonds. So over the word bonds right there, B-O-N-D-S there, highlight the word bonds and put the word tethering. Okay. Now there are two kinds of tethering. Okay? As there's two kinds of kingdoms. Okay. And there's two types of altars. There's an altar of Baal, and there's an altar of the Lord. Okay. There's a tethering of the devil. Okay. And there's a tethering of Christ. Okay? And there's the fruit of kingdom of darkness, and there's the fruit of the kingdom of light. So here he says about the bonds of Christ, okay, as concerning the tethering of his altar. By the tethering of his altar, we are fed, okay, as the priest that stands at the altar. So they that wait at the altar partake in the meat of the altar, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews 13, concerning, but those that are feasting at the altar of the flesh today, okay, are not competent, okay, as concerning expressing the true praise of God at this present time. Okay, but those physical things of that covenant were necessary. Okay, as the spiritual things are necessary for our competency today to make us worthy of his kingdom. Our worthiness of his kingdom is only because of the competency of Jesus Christ. Okay, his altar. Okay, and an image of that altar still stands even at this present time in the seventh heaven, okay, which you see in the book of Revelation. It represents the tethering. The altar, okay, which the angel of fire inhabits. Okay, it's the angel of fire that inhabits that altar is tethering us to Christ through this altar, okay, which is the altar of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul's bringing out right here. Okay, so that my bonds in Christ, see, bonds in Christ, the tethering of his altar is by the Spirit. The tethering of his altar is by the Spirit, not the tethering of his altar is by the flesh. If the tethering of his altar by the flesh, okay, then those things of Moses will still be dictating our behavior today, okay? And we'll be following Moses' record and not Jesus' record, okay? But Jesus rose from the dead, so we're following the record of his power, okay? We're following the record of his power, not the record of his suffrage, but the record of his power. And by following the record of his power, okay, he inhabits us and we're able to crucify the moral code, okay, so that we can live in a God. Okay, when Paul says I'm crucified with Christ, he's talking about us concerning putting death, okay, the moral code which has been spoiled, okay, which Satan can conceal himself in. Death can conceal itself in the flesh, okay, but death cannot conceal himself in the altar of Christ. It can't. Okay, because if death tried to conceal himself in the altar of Christ, he'd be consumed. Okay, because death enters in only those things of the flesh, not the spirit. And we see again in the book of Revelation, okay, how the beast in Revelation chapter 13, is identified with the animal kingdom, the beast, the man beast, okay, or the demon man is identified with the animal kingdom, the lion, the leopard, and the bear. Okay, but Jesus is identified with a throne, having eyes of fire, okay, feet of brass, okay, and his words are as fire, as flame, and his eyes are a flame of fire. Okay, the descriptions of these two kingdoms is vastly different. Okay, one of the sand people, and the other one of those of the resurrection. Okay, the sand people, they are those which are the lion, the leopard, and the bear. Okay, these would be those that will worship the beast. Okay, but we are of the line of Judah. Okay, the line of Judah, the Lamb of God. Okay, he that has his eyes as a flame of fire. Okay, and his feet as fine brass. Okay, so those are the two different perspectives. So that my bonds in Christ, okay, the bonds of Christ, the tethering of this altar of the Spirit, okay, are made manifest, which means has to do with the incense of this holy knowledge is manifest in all Caesar's palace. Okay. Caesar's Palace, we're not talking about a hotel there in Las Vegas. Okay. But, of course, Caesar's Palace right here, we're talking about that of the first century. Okay. that the gospel which Paul was preaching, the knowledge of it was permeating all the of all the servants of Caesar and even of the royalty. Okay. They began thinking, okay, and began speaking of these things. Okay. And that the moral code which they embraced, which was when you embrace the moral code, it produces rivalry. It produces envy and bitterness, okay? Because the moral code demands is the ownership, his own logic. It demands ownership of his own logic, okay? And also we can see that the moral code also demands self-determination, okay? It wants to stand as a god to rule, to conquer, to control, or to destroy, okay? That's the manifestations of that, okay? Not sanctified by God. Okay, so the bond, so that my bonds, the tethering of this altar of the Spirit, are made manifest, because this is the incense of the holy knowledge which is permeating the minds of the people in the palace, and all the palace and all other places. And the word places right there is in italics, which was added there by the translators. Okay, so it could also be all other palaces, okay, around that kingdom. Okay, verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord of the second covenant, waxing confident. Okay, so the word waxing confident. Okay, the word waxing confident has to do with we're increasing strength by this tethering. Waxing confident, we're increasing strength, okay, by this tethering of the altar. Okay, that's why it's important that our festivities center around his altar and not by our own altar. Not the altar of the moral code, okay, which is death, but the altar of Christ, which is life. So many of the brethren in the Lord of the second covenant, okay, that of the Spirit, waxing confident, increasing in strength by this faith, waxing confident by my bonds. Okay. Now, yes, we know that Paul was in prison. He was in prison, I think, about seven times. Okay, but every time he says the word bonds right here, it doesn't mean that he's physically in chains. Okay. Just like the word baptism does not always apply water. It does not always apply water. Okay, as bonds doesn't always apply physical iron chains. Okay, so the bonds he's speaking of right here has to do with the bonds of the tethering. Okay. We are tethered to Christ through the bonds of this knowledge. Okay, we're tethered to Christ through the bonds of this knowledge. Okay, and by these things we continually stand before him as in a mirror, as he is in the mirror, see? Okay, we want the Lord to see an image of himself, okay, so that seeing an image of himself, he rejoices. Now many of the brethren in the Lord, in the second covenant, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak and to confirm this revelation, the word without fear. So highlight the word there. They're able to speak the word, okay, boldly, okay, which has to do without reserve. Without reserve, they confirm the revelation which I have received. Okay, and you also, okay, as saints of the Lord, can continually boldly embrace this knowledge, okay, and affirming those things which has been revealed to the stewardship, at this present stewardship. You can boldly embrace it, that the things which we share, okay, this knowledge, you say the wood being laid on the altar, as knowledge is laid in within the heart, okay, as you can take great confidence in that the things which we speak will surely take place, okay, as the sun will rise tomorrow morning, okay, as will surely take place. So the knowledge which Paul was speaking there, speaking this word, the word has to do with the revelation, okay, whether it be by dream, vision, or word of knowledge, okay, the dream vision or word of knowledge which Paul received was what he was embracing. This was his candle. He was keeping this candle before him regardless of the situation or circumstances which were surrounding him at this time. Okay, well, what were some of those circumstances surrounding him at this time? Well, there was a certain conflict that was emerging, okay, from those which were taking this knowledge, okay, and were trying to assimilate it into the aspiration. Those which are speaking by pretext, okay, or pretense, he talks about in verse 18. We'll be talking about that in a moment. Okay, people today were no different or are no different than those which existed 2,000 years ago. Okay, the same conflicts that existed within the early church, okay, are also present today in the church. Same. Okay, it's nothing to be in despair about, okay, or to be confusing about. Okay, but it is a responsibility of every saint to remain consistent at his altar, the altar of Christ, Christ's altar. Remain consistent there, and not listen to all the activity that's taking place outside of the tabernacle. Outside the tabernacle is where the money changers were at. It's when the money changers moved inside the courts, okay, that people cannot concentrate in their offerings or sacrifices and their prayers to God. The noise of the oxen lowing, you know, and the sheep, bleating sheep, you know, and all the noise of the pigeons talking amongst themselves and the money changing and, you know, and all the clanging, the clanging of all the things that are taking place right there was so distracting that even Jesus, okay, as he was there in prayers, okay, in the treasury there, not only teaching but also in prayers himself, walked over and started to take charge. This is my Father's house. You're making a place of aspiration. Okay, this is supposed to be a place where faith is increased. How can people hear what's being taught in the courts over there, okay, and the things which I'm instructing them? Okay, but all this distraction over here, okay, the people to speaking, okay, and all this other noise and clanging. Okay, so Jesus cleansed the temple by his presence, and he also does that within our own temple, the temple of our own soul, okay, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost now, is being cleansed. Okay, not with the cords or lashes of anger, but with the cords and lashes of truth, okay, are being cleansed. Okay, of all distractions is being cleansed so that we can remain focused and our ears can remain circumcised in hearing the holy knowledge of God. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds and tethering it of the holy altar, are much more bold to speak and to confirm the revelation or the word which I have received without fear or without shame, or the reproach of those not enlightened. Okay, the reproach has to do with those which are not enlightened, okay, by God, because they always stand in the echo of the moral code, okay, in self-determination and not in the voice of the Lord. We stand fast in the voice of the Lord. If you try to stand fast in the echo, okay, of the spirit of this world, okay, then you're following a shadow, as James brings out. The voice of the Lord has no shadow of turning in it, because it's the real thing. The voice of the Lord is a real thing. The echoes which come forth is the voice of the spirit of this world, which changes with the direction of the sun. It changes. It can move. Okay, 1 minute it could be this way, next minute it could be that way. 1 minute it could be thus saith the Lord, and then suddenly the next minute something else thus saith the Lord. Okay, these are the people that follow the floating revelation. That's why I call it a floating revelation. A floating revelation is an echo of this world, okay, as a shadow of a tree. It continues to move. And so does their confidence. Their confidence is always moving with circumstances, okay, and not by the foundation of truth, not the tethering of the altar of the Lord. Okay, those that follow the echo are also fall into the snares of being the busybody, the whisperers, the backbiters. Okay, and those which are double-minded and the doubtful and the mischievous are following the shadow, okay, but not standing, okay, with the tree. You want to stand in the voice of the Lord, not in the echo of the spirit of this world, which I brought out earlier. Okay, in verse 15, now some indeed preach Christ of envy. That's the echo. Okay, that's why I'm bringing this out. Okay, I'm bringing to your attention the temperaments of these kingdoms. The temperaments of these kingdoms, so that you can discern between good and evil, but on a scale of truth and not the scale of the moral code. If you try to weigh these things on a scale of the moral code, you're always going to be confounded. Confounded. Now, the word confounded has to do, okay, with that which is like split in your thinking or scattered in thought. Okay? You can't make sense of things, okay, except you can see a piece of the puzzle, and you can extrapolate on that piece, but you don't have the full picture. Okay? And without the full picture, okay, you're always going to stand in doubt as concerning where does this piece go? Is it in a corner? Okay, or is it in the middle? Okay, where does this piece go? Now, some indeed, verse 15, some indeed, okay, in their aggression, preach or they minister, okay, they minister a Christ of the aspiration. And we see this today, okay, the 20th century or 21st century, okay, we can see this today, okay, you know, through all the media, okay, the gospel of one's aspiration, okay, and you notice when you, even when you hear the testimonies, okay, the testimonies of these things, okay, as an echo of, see, as the echo of the tree, as a shadow of the tree, okay, what is it to, what does it produce? Suspicion, envy, strife, emulation, variance, okay, it produces hatred and bitterness. This is the echo, okay, so you can see the temperament of that kingdom. As you grow in the grace of God, your discernment also becomes more forthcoming, okay, when you're younger, okay, as little children, okay, you're always struggling with a conscience and trying to weigh things in the light of moral code, but once you escape the inertia, okay, of that fear, okay, you'll be able to begin to grow and to blossom forth as the sons of God. Okay, so that you can inhabit your salvation, not just talk about it, but inhabit it. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Okay, we talked about that. Now here, the aspiration of Satan's substance, okay, the ectoplasm, okay, taking a form but possessing no life to it. It's a mannequin, a placebo gospel. And some also of goodwill, okay, where the equity of faith gives substance. The substance of Christ now is forming within a soul, the life of the Spirit. Okay, that's the true life of the Spirit. This is the lifestyle that the just live by. We live by his substance. In verse 16, now the one preaches. Now the Apostle Paul is helping us in comparisons here. Okay, so one is preaching a Christ of what? Contention. Okay, because they're trying to resolve the moral code by the issue and in the issues of life. Okay, by the knowledge of God. They're taking the knowledge of God, and they're trying to resolve the problems of their own relationships and the problems of life. Okay, they're trying to read into everything. Okay, it's the same thing about dream interpretation. You have to be careful about dream interpretation, not to try to begin to set order, okay, to every little nuance of it. Okay, because it's like a parable. When Jesus spoke the parables, he didn't want you to overfocus on the conditions as concerning the type of soil. Was it soil to acidity, okay, or the soil was or that it was a base, more base, okay, acid or base, okay, or alkaline, okay. So people that have or have their expertise in soil, when Jesus was speaking the parable, he wasn't speaking it to those that have their expertise in like soilology, if you will, okay. But here he's talking about and conveying that the general thought had to do with himself, his kingdom. Every parable Jesus spoke was himself. Every parable Jesus spoke, he was looking in the mirror, okay, concerning himself. This is what will transpire because this is what I am. Okay, if you see yourself in these parables, then you're looking in the wrong mirror. Okay, you're seeing the echo. But if you see Christ and you're looking at the voice, you're not looking at the shadow, you're looking at the tree. Now, the one that preaches Christ of contention is looking at the shadow. That's the echo. Okay, because he's using the knowledge of God to resolve all the issues and struggles of the moral code and conscience. He's trying to bend the will to the knowledge, okay, rather than allowing faith, okay, to bring clarity to the conscience, to purify the conscience. So the one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely. Now, when he says not sincerely, he's not talking about as concerning the energy that they're putting into it. Okay, that man must be preaching a lie because he's not really sincere in what he's preaching. How can you tell that? Okay, as concerning sincerity. You can't measure truth by sincerity. Okay, so when he says sincerity right here, he's talking about right here, not that of the purifying of the conscience. Okay, not sincerity. Not sincerely, which means not in the purification of the conscience. The gospel this man is preaching right here, which is trying to reserve the moral code, is not bringing the purification of the conscience. Okay? It's not for faith, it's for envy. Okay, and all the testimonies stand on the moral code, which produces envy and inhabits a parable. Okay, produces an envy, inhabits a parable. Okay. So the one preaches Christ of contention. You want to get a note here. Okay, make the note. There's two gospels which are being presented here. Okay, two spirits, two kingdoms, two manifestations, and two temperaments. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, as to purifying the conscience, not as supposing yet affliction of my bonds. Okay, that is by this gospel tethered to the wrong altar. Okay, you have the right ingredients, but you're using the wrong altar. And there's many people that will take this knowledge and offer it on the wrong altar. Taking an oxen and slaughtering it according to the law of Moses, but offering it on the altar of Baal, okay, is completely contaminated. The whole thing is a transgression. So today, any that takes the knowledge of God, okay, or takes the Bullock, but offers it on the altar of the moral code, okay, will stand before God, okay, as a transgressor.